This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 41 of Tatooine Sons. Solo's Star Wars story is finally out on digital download, but the best part for us are all the bonus features. From documentary featurettes to deleted scenes and a really fun interview with the cast, there's a lot to talk about. Oh, I thought that was going to be way worse. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're missing out on some pretty cool bonus features.
Amazing bonus features.
Amazing.
Amazing. Alright.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures, so on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi.
Broncos won, Raiders suck.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but there's like... when football season kicks in, there's really very few things in my non-sort of like... There's like different tiers of priorities in my life. You've got God, and you've got family, and you've got that kind of stuff that's at the very top, and that will always stay at the very top. And for about 7-8 months out of the year, Star Wars creeps right up to the top of the second tier. It's at the very, very top. But then when September hits and Labor Day is celebrated and the NFL starts, my Denver Broncos go right up on par with Star Wars. And this has been Raiders week. So it's been pretty intense in my, you know, like my head. And we just finished beating the Raiders with the last second field goal. It was awesome. So I'm in a really good mood. I'm ready to do this podcast. What about you guys?
Me too, I guess.
Was it a little stressful watching that?
We were out running errands for most of it, actually. We had
And it was in an outdoor, like, outlets.
Yeah.
And
one of those outlet malls, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't see most of the game because we had to run and get some lettuce for the tacos or whatever. But the most of the day, we got out of church, and we got some lunch, and then we were out running around, like, the outlet mall because we need new pants. We didn't get back till about like 4 o'clock, and it was still like it was almost the end of the second quarter of the Broncos game. So we didn't see a whole lot, and we're kind of tuckered out. But it was a good day.
All right. Well, we'll just knock this podcast out and talk really, really and passionately about the things that we're excited about, and then move on. Does that sound like a good plan?
Sounds good.
Like a good plan.
All right. Well, you guys have big stuff happening this week. What, you know, tell the listeners what's going on Wednesday.
Yeah, we go home.
We said
go back.
We said going home. And come on, that was what you're supposed to do. It was the Jar Jar Binks on Coruscant when Padme says they're going back to Naboo, and Jar Jar Binks says we said going home.
But I wanted to let you have the pleasure of doing it
because I can do Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're excited. But then, as soon as we get back, you and Nate. Leave to go somewhere, not like 2 days after.
Yeah, we're leaving for Israel on Friday. Nate, are you pumped?
Yes, I am.
Here's one thing I gotta say.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Yeah, so the entire schedule that I had planned, like the days that we would go to different places and all that kind of stuff, has been completely turned upside down based on scheduling problems that they're having over there. And so it's not going to go the way that I had planned, but it looks like it's going to be amazing. Let's see, we're going to spend like the first three days in Jerusalem, and then we're going to go up into the Galilee and hang out for a day. And that's when you get to eat the fish, Nate, BB Nate.
Ooh.
You excited about the fish?
I got a pretty bad good feeling about this.
Just ignore the fact that it's staring you in the face while you're eating it.
Yeah, so explain, Sam, because you did. Okay, so for the listeners that don't know, one of the big things that formative moments that as a dad that I've had planned in both of your lives was when you were 12, 13 years old, right in that area, time frame, that I would take you guys back to Israel and let you experience what it's like to be in the land there and the places and the sites and just sort of almost kind of like an idea of a bar mitzvah. It's like your opportunity to come into your own when it comes to your faith and things like that. And you did that, 2014. So 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was 13. So it's 5 years ago this November. You went and did that, mm-hmm. Nate, Sam, and that was awesome. So explain to the listeners what we're talking about when it comes to eating fish in the Galilee, because that doesn't sound that scary, but
yeah, no, it's not. You know, fish is good, but this fish is different. basically, the restaurant is right up on the Galilee, so you know they fish and they catch the fish right there. It's super fresh, but they cook the fish whole,
yeah,
like everything on it. I think they like fry it, maybe like not deep fry, but like
pan fry,
right? And they serve it to you on the plate, and it's whole. It's staring right back at you. It's got the skin.
It's looking at you while you eat it.
Yeah, so it was a little intense for you.
Yeah,
because I'm the pickiest eater anyone will ever meet, and I don't like fish regularly, but when the fish is whole and looking at me, let's just say it wasn't a pleasant experience.
Well, it took some coaxing, but we got you to eat it. Yeah. And in the end, it wasn't bad, was it?
Oh, it was pretty. It was really good. It wasn't like fishy.
No, because it's so fresh. I mean, literally, they just caught it that day. And then, but the other cool.
What's that? It tastes like fish, but it was good.
Did it taste like chicken?
Yeah, no.
No, it's like it's fishy, but it's good. And then you know you can use the bones for toothpicks, like we did.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then we got on a boat, so that's what we'll do. All that stuff on that day, and then Saturday. This was not on my schedule that I had planned out, but our hosts in Israel have set it up for us to go spend Saturday at the Dead Sea and in En Gedi, which, Sam, you haven't even done that. You've seen En Gedi from outside, but we're going to get the chance to actually go into En Gedi, and then we're going to go to the top of Masada, so it's going to be pretty awesome. So we're going to be gone for 2 weeks, and what that means – well, two Saturdays, two weekends, because we leave Friday, and we don't, which is the 21st, and we don't come back till October 1st, which is a Monday, so we're gone for 10, 11 days, which means there's not going to be any podcasts for the next couple of weeks. And so we want to let you listeners know we'll be back starting the first full weekend in October. We'll be back in the groove again. We'll be hopefully back from Israel. I can't imagine any reason. Although the last time I went to Israel, I spent 3 hours in the security office at the airport. They didn't want to let me get on the plane. But we won't talk about that.
I felt a great disturbance in the force.
They thought he was a flight risk.
I don't know. They don't want me to leave the country, which is okay because I don't want to leave the country. I love it over there. But the problem is my family and my job are back here. So I need to get back. So I've still got a computer somewhere in Israel that they've taken from me and not returned. So maybe someday. Maybe they'll give it back this time. You think?
No, they'll just stop you again.
Yeah, they like start pulling you off to the side, and you're like, oh, no. And they're
I'll walk off the plane, and they'll be like, oh, Mr. Jesse, so glad to see you again. Can you come with us? hopefully not. If they listen to this podcast now, for sure that's going to happen. No. Anyway, so that's what's been going on. I haven't seen if we had any reviews. You want to just do this real time and see? Now, why don't you guys talk about some of the fun things that you've been doing down there in Alabama? The movie that you saw while I looked this up.
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, Sammy and I were not really knowing what to do, so I recommended the idea of Sammy and I going to see a movie to Mom, and so she said yes, and the movie was Searching.
Yeah.
They haven't played any ads on it for TV that I've seen. I just was scrolling through IMDb looking for a good movie since there was none coming on right now. And then this shows up, and I'm like, it's probably going to be rated R. So I just kept scrolling, and then I'm like, well, might as well just see. And it was PG-13, and I'm like, seems interesting, so let's watch it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting movie. It's very original. Like, I'd never seen anything like it. Like, I don't want to give too much away. I don't think this is giving anything away. But it all takes place through, like, a computer screen. Like, you're seeing what's happening on a computer screen, you know? Like, someone's typing an email, texting, FaceTime, or whatever. So there's still actors, you know, because they may be FaceTiming, and they, you know, you see the actor, and they leave the camera open. But it's all through, like, the eyes of a computer screen or a phone or something to that effect. And it was really well done. I mean, it was an amazing movie. It had some pretty good plot twists in there. I mean, it was really good. A pleasant surprise.
Yes. And we had a private screening of it, too, so that was nice.
Yeah, just Nate and I.
Yeah,
so we were sitting there talking and being like, oh, man, what's this mean? Or, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like it's really interesting. I've heard some of our Patreon supporters, which, by the way, if you want to become a Patreon supporter, you just go to patreon.com/TatooineSons and sign up for $1. You can be a part of what this is. So anyway, they've seen it, and they suggested that we go see it. It's been awesome. So.
Yeah, really good.
So,
any reviews?
We do.
Yay. Perfect.
And so I'm trying to get back to it because I accidentally hit a button. All right. And I think this is from our buddy Ryan Bullock, which is pretty awesome because Ryan's been one of our early Twitter followers, and he's like one of the most...
Any relation to Jeremy Bullock?
No, I don't believe so. He's like one of the most supportive guys out there. He's every Friday without any failure to miss or anything like that. He's there every single Friday shouting out our podcast, telling people to follow us on cool. Twitter and listen. Ryan Bullock is an awesome guy. And cool. Here's his, I think it's Ryan. I'm trying to do research on Twitter to make sure it's the same person. And I'm pretty sure it is. So it says Coruscant Radio Underground. So I'm trying to figure out who that is. Anyway. All right. That's the handle on the review. But mm-hmm. that's not Ryan's Twitter handle, but it seems to be some connections on that. So anyway, fantastic podcast with a unique point of view. 5 stars. So that's pretty cool. In our household, Star Wars has always been a family affair, as is true of many Star Wars fans. I was introduced to it by my father and have thoroughly enjoyed sharing that same adventure with my children. I'm always on the lookout for podcasts that I can listen to in the car with the kids present, and this certainly provides that. The hosts always do a great job. The conversation is always fun, and it provides a unique perspective in the Star Wars, in the world of Star Wars podcasts. So that's maybe it's Daniel. I think it may be this Daniel Peoples, which would be cool too, because he used the hashtag Coruscant Radio Underground. So anyway,
that's probably it.
Yep. All right. So
cool.
Pretty cool.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you awesome. So much. Whoever you are, Coruscant Radio Underground, anonymous, awesome person. So let's see. Let's get to where I can get back to my dashboard here. And delete that out. Let's see. There it is. All right. So you guys ready to talk about the podcast poll of the week? You guys ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
All right, so last week we were talking about Ray Park and his comments on the mall in Solo. He finally kind of came out of the woodwork and started sharing a lot more about his role in there. And so we asked, what are the odds that we'll see Maul in another Star Wars movie? So we have 50-50, less than 50%, greater than 50%, or going on record, it's going to happen. So we'll start with you, BB Nate. What would you have voted had if you personally had a Twitter account and you could have voted?
I would say less than 50.
Not too confident.
I don't think they can do anything unless I just don't think so.
Okay. Just the box office numbers primarily, is that what's concerned you?
No.
Well, you don't think there's a storyline there?
I just don't think that they're going to go with it. I think they're going to keep him an animated character because that's what he was when he started up. And
that's what made him big.
Made him big, so.
Well, what about you, Sam?
I'm going to go with greater than 50.
You know, why do you think that?
I'm not saying like it's just the statistical likelihood. Over 50%.
For me, I would say probably greater than 50% chance, based on the fact that why do you pull Maul out of mothballs when he's been killed off already and then make a live action Maul in a movie just for a 60-second scene and then never bring him back again? I just
doesn't like all that makeup costume
and then and then them talking so much about it as the digital download and the Blu-ray has been getting ready to be released. It's like all they're talking about with Solo is Maul. So
yeah, it's true.
So let's see what our listeners, our Twitter followers, excuse me, said about this. So it was one. I'm going on record. I haven't actually gone back and researched this, but I don't ever recall anything like this. It is the closest percentage-wise pull that I've ever seen for us.
It is. It is really close,
and it's broad. It's like spread out against all across all four options. So 22% listed a greater than 50% chance of that of Maul coming back in another Star Wars movie. 24% said 50-50, while 26% said less than 50% chance, and 28% are confident it's definitely going to happen. So what do you guys think about those results?
2, 4, 6, 8
Whoa. I don't know. There's something there. I don't know. Numerology, man. All right. Well, let's read a couple. And there's now we're going to, we normally read three comments. We're going to read two. The reason is because the second one is not one comment. It's a series of a thread on our poll that a follower went through and laid out an argument for, and I want to go over it. And I think that there's going to be some people that are going to really find this interesting, especially you two, since you guys aren't on Twitter and you don't hear it. So first one, Sam Yoda Bronchi, at the Yoda Pagoda. I think we've had the Yoda Pagoda comment on other things before.
He was on the last episode, I think.
May have been. Yeah. He says, I feel like the unknown regions and wild. So last week's was about the unknown regions of wild space. So he's carrying that over into this one. Ooh. I feel like the unknown regions and wild space are going to factor pretty heavily into another there's another underworld into or if I guess that's what it means there's another underworld Star Wars movie, no doubt Maul will be there. I mean, that's why I've been demanding a sequel to Solo. So he's like doing the whole reason he wants to have a Solo sequel is to have Maul in it, which I sent him the link to this week's last week's podcast, because I think that we make a pretty good argument for how they should do it with the Boba Fett Crimson Dawn Hutt cartel stuff. So all right, so now I want to go through this Patrick Covey stuff, because it's like I don't know how many, like 4 or 5 tweets, and he puts like Darth Maul gifs on it, so it's kind of cool. And then the official pronunciation of that word for Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast is GIF. It's not JIF, just so you know. Okay, Patrick Covey says, drawing parallels. Make sure I'm not missing one earlier. Okay, I'm not. He goes, yep. Okay, here we go. I just want to make sure I'm starting from the beginning, because this is a long thread. So, okay. Patrick says, drawing parallels, Snoke appeared as a hologram first in TFA, in The Force Awakens, then came to the flesh in TLJ, The Last Jedi. If the next film is criminal underworld related, he is definitely showing up in the flesh. I just want to see how he came from such a low place at the end of SOD, which is Sons of Dathomir, to a place of power. So obviously, Patrick has a fully fleshed out theory if he's bringing Sons of Dathomir and stuff like
that. So you're saying Maul is Snoke?
No, what he's saying is that they're like, they're kidding, paralleling it. Okay, no, don't do that. Okay, no. Those people will go and they'll start tweeting to the world that we said this that Maul is Snoke, and people will start making videos on it, and it'll show up on express.co.uk.
Hey, MI0.
My only goal in life is to get a Mike Zero video.
Oh, yeah. So it's funny. I was scrolling through my YouTube the other day, and lo and behold, on my suggested videos, there was a Mike Zero video.
That's because we were talking about him, and they know it. So,
I'm on a different YouTube.
Okay, so let's talk. Let's continue. He says, we know his criminal ties from his days of ruling Mandalore help him escape his captors after the siege of Mandalore. Even Dryden Vos talks about how close the gangs are in Solo, and he doesn't originally like Han's idea about stealing coaxium from the Pikes. So you remember all that when that's going on. So I'm going to keep going.
Right.
Now that we know Maul is in power and Kira was on Kessel, the Pikes may ID her with her new high ranking status and the underworld gang war you guys have always wanted will begin. We also never did find out how Maul got stranded on Malachor in Rebels, so throw that in too. Now, wait, let's stop there, because didn't in that episode where they first introduced Maul in Rebels, don't they explain that Maul is on there looking for Sith artifacts or holocrons?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know how he's stranded, but that's why he's there. Okay, so maybe.
Right.
Okay. So whatever happens
maybe to... Maybe he needs it to defeat the... he says he's using it to defeat the Sith, so not the criminal underworld, though.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting.
Okay. Whatever happens the next threat, next tweet, whatever happens to Maul after his duel with Palpatine. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Whatever happens to Maul after his duel with Palpatine, but before Ahsoka captures him on Mandalore, may define how and why he eventually ends up starting Crimson Dawn down the road. And I think the theory that I've heard is, you know, the Emperor Palpatine says he kills Savage Opress and Mother Talzin, and then he says to Maul that he has a purpose for him, and that's why he leaves him alive. So maybe this is part of what's going on. Next tweet. And let's not get too hasty. An Inquisitor died to bring Maul his new saber at minimum roughly 7 years before he reappeared in season 2 of Rebels. There is so much Maul coming that I can't even right now. Which is interesting because his lightsaber in Solo and his lightsaber in the Rebels series is...
the same.
Well, it's the same one, but it's clearly a former Inquisitor's.
He chopped it up and put it in half. It's weird.
Yeah. So
looks like a cane. When he's got the other end on it.
Absolutely. Then the last tweet, it says, is Witwer, which is Mr. Sam Witwer, the voice of our favorite Darth Maul in Clone Wars and Rebels and in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Witwer suggested that they should use another lightsaber associated with Maul, either the Darksaber or his Rebels lightsaber. It was decided to use the latter, as possessing an Inquisitor's lightsaber would suggest that Maul was being hunted by the Empire. So what do you guys think about our friend Patrick's? That would kind of
ixnay the whole Emperor using him to control the underworld thing,
That's true. Maybe maybe he's, you know, his whole goal with, now that I'm going back to my Clone Wars knowledge base, trying to remember Maul's, like, extended storyline, in that he is bringing the underworld, the crime syndicates together because he wants to build a force that can take on Palpatine and Dooku and defeat them. So maybe he's doing that with Crimson Dawn. Maybe that's sort of what's going on here.
Well, maybe what I would think is, since, you know, the Emperor said he has a purpose for him, what if originally the Emperor did use him to start getting control of the underworld? And then eventually Maul built up enough power and decided, yeah, no, I'm not doing this anymore, and kind of rebelled and did his own thing.
Well, I mean,
and
that's why he's being hunted. Sith and Sith masters and apprentices have this uneasy tension between them where, you know, the master is raising up and apprenticing, obviously, the apprentice, with the understanding that eventually the apprentice is going to rise up and try to kill him, because that's where the rule of two comes from. And so, even if the Emperor is using Maul, like the, you know, I suggested might be a possibility because of what he says, Maul is potentially raising an army up in order to go back and defeat the Emperor, which then would give us a reason why he's on Malachor looking for some way to do that.
But he's not his apprentice at this point, because the Emperor is Vader.
No, but I'm not saying they have to be an apprentice. I'm just saying this idea.
He's still holding on to that.
Well, no, the idea of he's being the Emperor using someone for his advantage, with the understanding that that person he's using may still try to come back and destroy him, is not something that would be unusual for Palpatine, because that's what he's done with Maul. That's what he's done with Dooku. That's what he's done with Anakin. He fully intends for Luke in Return of the Jedi. He fully intends for Luke to kill Vader. And he is completely not surprised. It doesn't seem to me that there's this idea that Vader may be trying to turn Luke to join with him to overthrow the Emperor.
Yeah, no.
So it's the same idea. Exactly. I think that it could fit with all that. So what do you think, BB Nate? We haven't heard from you in a couple minutes.
I really do agree. I do want to see Maul kind of being controlled by the Emperor with the criminal underworld. I'd like to see Maul kind of grounded, not being able to live his full potential.
Yeah.
And you know that Maul gets his... He has a short fuse on his temper. So I think that we would see a lot of, not battles, but kind of rage against each other with Maul and Emperor. Hmm. And I think that'd be a little bit of a cool thing to see.
Interesting. Well, I'm excited. I'm hoping that we don't see that this isn't the end of Maul, that Ray Park being so vocal. And interestingly enough, just in the few days that the digital download has been available from Solo, there's a whole new crop of fans of the Solo movie that have come up. If you've been on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on things like that, which you know, if our listeners, I'm sure, recognize this, especially through Twitter. And I've seen it on Facebook too. I don't know if you guys, Sam and Nate, if you've seen it, but there's a lot of people that are saying, watch Solo for the first time. I absolutely loved it. This is a great movie. Mm. And so my hope is that there's sort of this recognition that a $400 million box office take is a great box office take. I mean, the Predator movie came out this weekend and it got $26 million this weekend. And that's like nothing compared to some. That's a flop. That's a flop, right? Solo was a good movie that cost more to make, because they had the challenges with Lord Miller and they had to bring in Ron Howard, but they were committed to doing the movie the right way and to putting out a great movie, and they succeeded. And so, and I think the fans are starting to kind of coalesce around this, and we're going to see sort of this rise to the top of some of the lists of favorite movies, Star Wars movies, because it's such a fun movie. And it's one, like we've talked about, you can just stick in the DVD player, or you can just pop on when you're wanting to watch a Star Wars movie, and you don't have to get invested in the Skywalker saga, but you can still have a fun Star Wars adventure with it. Right. I think people are going to like it. So awesome. All right. Well, let's see. In just a second, we're going to move into our hot takes. But before that, we've got a quick message from BB Nate on how you can become a Patreon supporter.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us, so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/tatooinesons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right. So one of our favorite Star Wars actresses joined the Resistance. There's some Stranger Things creeping into Star Wars. And Kevin Smith has suggested a crazy theory about Rey's mommy to J.J. Abrams. It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
What? We can't talk about it?
You're off mute, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hi.
You didn't give me any warning.
So meet
the problem with doing it across the country.
I know. So I don't care. All right. Meet the pilots of Star Wars Resistance in a new featurette. This new featurette shows off another group of pilots and a bit more of the high stakes racing that will take place in the show. First up, there's Tora Doza, played by Myrna Velasco. I wonder if Myrna's any relation to Camilo Velasco, who I spent a week in Ecuador with. He was awesome.
I doubt it.
But anyway, a young, bubbly, and gifted pilot who's friends with Kaz. So Tora is friends with Kaz. There's also a cocky Hype Faison, which interestingly enough is played by Donald Faison. Yeah. I wonder if he lobbied to have his name in there. Cranky and ex-Imperial Griff, Our Imperial pilot Griff Halloran, played by our good friend Stephen Stanton.
Stephen,
yeah. Woo! And the cold Frey Fenris, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, and the daring Bo Keevil, whose voice actor wasn't revealed. Weirdly,
no, he wasn't. That was weird. I didn't notice that.
I didn't either because I haven't watched the clip yet because I'm a bad
Boo.
Person.
I've watched Boo. It like two or three times.
So as soon as we're done recording, I'll watch it on the big TV in here with the sound blasting and I'll enjoy it. But I'm going to turn this discussion over to you two. Go for it, BB Nate and Samuel the Hutt. Tell us what you thought about this Resistance clip featurette.
So we're going to just go down the characters starting from the beginning. Her name escapes me. What's the
It's on. Oh, you don't have the paper. So yeah, because these are hot takes. You don't have these. Tora Doza.
Tora Doza. Interesting. We didn't hear any of her voice before, so to hear it this time was pretty cool. She seems like a really interesting character. I know I touch on this like every single time we mention Resistance, but her character seems to fit the anime style better than most of the other characters. Very bubbly, very animated, you know. No pun intended.
Mated.
But it was interesting. I don't think that they're going to go with the love interest route with, oh my gosh, why is his name escaping me?
Kaz.
I know.
Kaz,
yes. I don't think they're going to go down that route. I think it's going to be sort of like Sabine and Ezra.
So you're not shipping Taz?
I'm not shipping Taz.
No.
No, but I mean, and she's got this cool little like fluffy.
So we need to start
dog.
That hashtag. Can we do that? Kaz Doza or Kaz Tora or Tora Kaz? Tora Kaz?
Kaz.
Huh?
Kaz.
No, it'd be too easy to figure. It would be too hard to figure out what that is. I think we'll start Tora Taz. Tora Kaz. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, she's got this cool little like fluffy dog thing.
I'm a Jake.
Pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nate? Tora.
Little quirky. we did hear her voice before this featurette.
We did?
When she's flying next to him.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's right.
Don't blow up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was like really brief.
It was brief, but
interesting. And then the next character, you were talking about Hype Faison, played by Donald Faison.
Yeah.
And you're like, I wonder if he lobbied to have his name changed like that. But he didn't. In the featurette, explains that Dave Filoni, he said this is one of those rare times where he bases a character around an actor.
Oh, interesting.
He'd worked with Donald for a while, and Donald had always wanted to be in something. So he modeled the character around him.
Oh, that's
interesting.
So
the name's Hype Faison, and he loves the name. The dude is hilarious. The character, at least, and he's like, he's got all these like sponsorships and stuff, and he's all full of himself. He's a pretty fun character. I'm excited to see him. It's pretty cool, and he's a Rodian too.
Oh, nice! Oh, he's the Rodian character on the trailers and stuff. Awesome.
What do you think of Hype Faison?
Like you said, he's full of himself. He's egotistical. He's very cocky. As I said, he's a funny character. I think he's going to be a more lighthearted one.
He's all crazy, though. Fits the name Hype, though.
That's cool. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
What about this Griff Halloran, played by Steven?
Yeah, I was getting there.
Come on. I need to know stuff about Griff. Because Steven's one of our favorite guys.
Yeah, I know. We were watching it the first time, and he's like, this is Griff. It's played by Stephen Stanton. I'm like, oh, no way, it's Steve. But he's interesting. So what I got, though, kind of backtracking, but I'll come around to it. It seemed like that these pilots are hired to just protect the base. It seems like it's a Resistance base. But when they're not protecting the base because there's no real war or anything going on yet, they race. That's the vibe I get from it.
So have we heard anywhere yet the time period, how long before Force Awakens this is taking place?
No.
But I feel like it's like at least a year or two before.
Yeah, I get that vibe.
I would think
even the war starts.
You know, if we recall from the Bloodlines novel, they are launching the resistance immediately at the end of that. We're about 5 to 6 years before The Force Awakens. I would think it's important to give that period of time. So maybe a year or two after that for them to have sort of built up the resistance and get it started. And now it's like a real thing. And this is where we kick in. But then my understanding, and I haven't, like I said, I haven't seen this, but my understanding is that you see Kylo Ren's shuttle and you see stuff like that in this. So is Kylo Ren already gone to the dark side?
I don't know, but we saw his shuttle for a brief moment. And it wasn't like, oh, is that maybe his shuttle? It's clearly his shuttle. So.
Interesting.
But back to Griff. He's an ex-Imperial pilot, which is weird because he's helping the Resistance. You'd think he'd go with the First Order, but he doesn't. And he's got all this. He's still got his old gear, so he still wears the old TIE fighter pilot helmet. He's still got, you know, like the chest rig thing. And it's like all falling apart, but it's cool. His ship, really weird. It doesn't look like anything that we have in canon. It looks more like a Sith starfighter from the Old Republic. If you look up a picture and then watch the video, you'll see the similarities between the wings. But it's pretty. I'm curious to see where this goes with this guy, because I feel like he could easily be a double crosser.
Interesting. What did you think about him, BB Nate? What did you think about Griff?
They said that he's like kind of the grumpy old man. and from the featurette, you do get that vibe from him, just kind of in the corner and being angry at the kids all the time, even if they're doing nothing wrong.
I didn't mention this either, but each pilot has their own droid, and each droid's kind of unique. But his droid looks a lot like a Viper probe droid in a way, just a little, you know, a little modded out and different. I think it's on wheels maybe, but the top head section looks just like it's pulled off of Viper probe droid.
Interesting.
I thought it was kind of cool. Fits the
character.
And then what was the next one?
It was Frey Fenris.
She gives me
Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, so it's
pretty cool. She reminds me a lot of Phasma.
Like, why do you say that?
But because she's a stern, very to the rules, authoritative. When you watch it, you'll see what I mean. She's got a cool like Russian accent.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So that's pretty neat.
What did you think about Frey, BB Nate?
A little weird. Didn't expect her. I don't think we saw any.
We hadn't heard about her at all.
So she's brand new. We've not seen anything about her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like Griff too.
She's a little weird, but they did say that in the featurette that she does follow the rules. She's very strict, but if she needs to, she will save her fellow teammates and she will get the mission done.
Yeah. She says that, you know, she's a sort of guy character that, you know, if you fail or don't live up to your standards, then she probably won't even give you the time of day. But she's, you know, if you don't perform well, you're not going to be on her good side, but she's still probably like one of the most trustworthy of them.
Interesting. Okay, and then what about this last character, this Bo Keevil, the voice actor? So could you tell, you know, male, female? Can we go down that path at all?
So his species is that of, like, what Plo Koon is, which I don't know the actual species. It's that sort of character.
All right.
I don't know. I would get male, probably, but I don't know.
There's Sporky in the background. Makes me miss Buster. Okay. Anyway, must be a horse on TV.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, Sam and Nate's grandfather has a dog, a little Yorkie terrier, and it is a little bit out of balance. And it sees anytime it sees a horse on TV.
Or
animal of sort.
Or saggy pants, or you jump, or you just talk to him.
He barks at anything, but primarily TV things. And
slight gust of wind.
He did bark at a slight gust of wind. He barked at a bird.
A sunset?
Yes.
He barked Sunset.
No, literally, you're not making this up.
Nice.
Anyway, where were we? Oh, we were talking about this.
Bo Knievel.
What's his?
Bo Knievel.
Bo Knievel.
Bo, not Knievel. Not Knievel. Knievel is a stuntman.
Well, it's funny because he's actually a stunt guy.
Oh, no
way. He's the evil Knievel character.
Oh, that's
funny.
He's
always crashing his ship, they say. And his ship's got like four wings and it's like super. It like changes shape. It can like go into any shape you need. But he's always crashing because he pushes it to the absolute limit every time.
Interesting.
So, I was hoping you go to the song there.
No, I'm
take it to the limit every time.
Nah, I'm not gonna sing today.
Yeah, but he's sort of the daredevil stunt guy. But we don't know what he sounds like. We didn't get a voice actor. We just got, hey, this is the character. He's got a cool shape. He crashes a lot. So
interesting. Okay. Well, cool. I'll have to check it out. Sounds fun. All right. So the next topic: Stranger Things star wants to join the Star Wars franchise. Gaten Matarazzo, best known for playing for his role as creature fighting Dustin Henderson in Netflix's sci-fi series Stranger Things, wants in on Star Wars. Asked when he's going to get a call for Star Wars during an appearance at Salt Lake City's FanX convention last weekend, Matarazzo, I can't pronounce anything tonight, said, "I want to know that too. I'm not kidding." The 16-year-old actor admitted he's obsessed with the franchise, which he attributes to an introduction made by a family member during childhood. "My uncle from Michigan came to visit me for a summer when I was 6 years old, and he got me obsessed with Star Wars," Matarazzo said. What do you guys think? BB Nate, do you think it'd be cool if Dustin from Stranger Things ended up being...
Hold on. One quick thing, just so we can clear this up. I'm not following who this is. Is that the kid with like the long hair and the gap in his teeth?
Yes. Dustin.
Okay. Yep. He's 16?
Yeah, he's 16 now. Yeah.
Whoa.
So anyway, yeah, he wants in on Star Wars. So BB Nate, what do you think? Do you think that they'll make this happen sometime?
I really don't know. I don't know where they could fit him in.
I mean, they could fit him in like Daniel Craig in a stormtrooper suit. Simon Pegg as
somebody said maybe Rey has younglings or padawans or something like that.
No, that's not.
I wasn't that's thinking not that.
He would be the awkward, really like goofy padawan who doesn't quite get it.
Little brother, maybe he'll be that.
So, let's not go with.
Maybe he's the younger brother that's actually a Jedi that trains Jedi porgs.
Ooh.
Now we're going somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
What do you? Jedi and Turbis is a secret spy spying on his sister, Rey.
All right.
Ooh, sent him out there to keep an eye on Rey.
Somebody's got to.
Yeah.
Their dad, you know, was afraid that Rey was going to run off with Kylo Ren, so she sent the little brother to spy. The dad sent the little brother to spy.
Yeah.
Who's all right. I'm lost. What do you think about this idea, Sam?
Oh, I think they could fit him in, and I think they will eventually. You know, down the road, there's going to be so much Star Wars stuff. He could be a voice actor. He could be some guy in a stormtrooper suit. I mean, they could fit him in, and I have the feeling they will.
Cool.
So,
all right. This is the last one, and I'm going to, for the first time, have to use a censor button because I'm using quotes. And I don't want to misquote, but I definitely don't want bad words. So, I will be using a censor button, and it'll be Turbis, for that. So, what Star Wars fan theory did Kevin Smith write J.J. Abrams about? All right, before we get into his theory, do you guys have any idea who this Kevin Smith guy is?
The name sounds familiar, but
okay, he did a bunch of these like sort of angsty millennial movies back in the early 2000s,
like
Jay and Silent Bob and some of these others. And he's sort of a comedic director, and he's really big on social media, and he's a huge, like, massive Star Wars fan who in his comedy acts, he's also a comedian, in his comedy acts, he sort of built a career off of ripping the prequels. So, and so, you know, I mean, he's like, okay, kind of part of the Star Wars family in a weird way.
Okay.
So here's his quotes. He says, "We're talking about Clone Wars coming back, and I said to him, I got a theory that's the way to start introducing Ahsoka slowly into the live-action movies, by bringing her back prominently in the cartoon. because now that they don't have Princess Leia's stories to tell, they need another strong female character in the universe, and Ahsoka's been there for years. Much beloved, just isn't in the movies. So I guess he's talking to J.J. Abrams and telling Dave Filoni or somebody at Star Wars, I can't remember who this is, that they need to bring Ahsoka back because of, you know, just they can't use Princess Leia as sort of the leader, the female leader of the resistance or the rebellion. And so apparently it goes on, it says, so I was like, I think maybe they're doing that so they can slowly bring her into movies. And then Brian Volkweis blows my mind by going, maybe that's who Carrie Russell's playing. And then I said, what the man, I want to see your version of Star Wars. Then I was like, no, that can't be it. I think Carrie Russell probably plays Rey's mom. And then he drops the bomb and he goes, what if it's the same person?
Oh!
So his theory that he has actually reached out to J.J. Abrams with is that Carrie Russell should play Ahsoka and be Rey's mom. I don't know how this is possible. Okay, I'm just going to be.
She's a Togruta.
Yeah, she's Rey's not the same species.
Human? Maybe she's playing two different characters. Maybe she's playing Ahsoka and Rey's mom, two separate characters.
I don't know. But what do you think about the idea that Carrie Russell could be? Let's just go with what the theory is, not your theory. But what do you think about the idea that Carrie Russell is playing Ahsoka in Episode 9, and Ahsoka is Rey's mommy?
Hate to break it to you, but no.
I got a bad feeling about
it's
this.
It's almost as bad as Mike Zero's series.
No, come on, don't be that way.
Ouch.
Well, I mean, I don't know how I could see that working. I don't know, since he's a comedian, if he was joking.
Joking, yeah.
That's probably it. I'm hoping.
Okay, so let's separate the characters then. All right, let's talk about the ideas. We don't really need to go down the Carrie Russell is playing Rey's mom path, because that's been overdone and talked about since they announced that she was part of the cast. People have been talking about that. But what about the idea that Rey or that Carrie Russell may be playing Ahsoka? Even, let's say that she's not the mom, Rey's mom, but she's playing Ahsoka. What do you think about that idea?
I'm trying to overlay the faces in my mind, and I just don't see it. Carrie Russell has too round of a face, too short. And Ahsoka's got a pretty long face.
Carrie Russell was in Mission Impossible 3. She got killed off early on in it.
She got the bomb in her brain.
She's in Bedtime Stories.
She's in Bedtime Stories.
I just said that.
Oh, yeah.
We got that Aurora.
No, I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, the Prius thing. Yeah.
I don't think she would work for Ahsoka.
Okay. I don't either. Do you want them to bring Ahsoka back into this movie, though?
I want them to bring Ahsoka into a movie, Episode 9. I would like to see it, but I don't think they would.
I don't think you go down the Episode 9 route.
It'd be really weird to see them bring that character in this movie. That's for sure.
Yeah, because it's the last movie in the Skywalker saga, and just to put her in seems like...
It would seem like it would overshadow everything else. You know, everyone would, instead of talking about, like, oh, that was a good close to the Skywalker saga, they'll be like, oh my gosh, Ahsoka was in there.
And Lando. Oh, and all these other...
Lando fits into the Skywalker saga because that's he's in the movies. But if they bring in Ahsoka and she suddenly becomes the new mentor for Rey and trains her in the Force and trains her kind of how to be a gray Jedi or something like that, you know, it I understand where you're coming from. It would add a... It would almost distract from it being the close of the Skywalker saga.
Right.
So, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get into our main topic of the day, which is going to be all about the Solo bonus features. But before that, Samuel the Hutt will help you learn a little bit more about how you can help promote and support family-friendly Star Wars content on Patreon.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel the Hutt. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. BB Nate and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends at Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons. and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, so Solo: A Star Wars Story is now available as a digital download, and we are honestly, I'm really pumped. So pumped that I paid for the digital download when I planned on waiting 2 weeks and buying the Blu-ray.
Ouch. I couldn't wait anymore.
Yeah, but the bonus features might be the best of any Star Wars movie so far, at least in my opinion. And so, what surprised us? What made us laugh? What did we love? We'll talk about that next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so we're going to break down the bonus features on the Solo movie. Let's just give you a general impression of what of those bonus features. I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. What was your sort of overall impression of the documentaries and the deleted scenes and the things that were a part of the digital download?
Okay, I'm not a documentary type of guy. I don't like them. I just don't know why.
That is probably the understatement of the entire series of podcasts that we've had. Nathan literally abhors any kind of documentary.
I just, when I watch an hour or 2 hour thing, I'm expecting it to be an entertaining movie, not a school session. So that's just why I don't like documentary. This one, it was talking about a movie. They were talking about the movies and it had interesting and it was about something I enjoyed. And it had little clips from the movies and so that made it better.
So in other words, a person who absolutely loves documentaries with every fiber of his being really enjoyed this documentary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't consider them documentaries. They're more just like featurettes. Kind of like what the Aces are. They have the same type of thing.
Yeah, I get that vibe.
What do you think about them, Sam? Did you like documentaries?
I love the whole thing. I mean, any more information about Star Wars, I will always gladly accept in whatever form it comes in. So it was cool to see. I don't want to get into specifics, but it was really cool. We got to see some stuff that, you know, I wouldn't have ever thought of without seeing the documentary or the bonus features.
It was a lot of fun. I think you on Friday evening after watching them, you text me that you wanted to become a sound intern at Lucasfilm and help them make sound effects for movies and TV shows.
Skywalker Sound.
At Skywalker Sound, yeah. Which, by the way, if there's anyone listening to our podcast that works for Skywalker Sound, I've got one of the most responsible 17-year-olds on the planet that would has a very significant ear for sounds. He's always had an ear for sounds.
That is true.
And he would love to spend a year or a summer working at Lucasfilm at Skywalker Sound and helping you guys.
It's so cool.
If you just want him to go to Starbucks and get coffee and bring it back to you, he's fine with that.
I will gladly do that.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's cool. They take gummy bears and put it in acid.
That was a pretty cool moment.
That was the sound for the coaxium.
Like melting down.
Ripening,
like, yeah.
Yeah. There's a gummy bear in acid.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
The train tracks, they just took a bunch of metal, threw it on the floor, and rattled it around.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
That's so cool. And then, you know, they edit it and all that, and it sounds like something from Star Wars. Oh, and they talked about how they made Chewbacca sounds. All right, I need to stop. I'm going to stop. Sorry. Moving on.
How they made what?
Chewbacca's sounds.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! No, go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going.
They used this was cool because I never knew how they did Chewbacca sounds, and it's apparently you take a grizzly bear, you mash it with a little bit of like a walrus, and then a little bit of a howler monkey, and you've got Chewbacca.
No. The howler monkey wasn't for that. The howler monkey was,
the creature of the maw.
The Kraken, the maw, yeah. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, but it was like a walrus and a grizzly bear.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So.
And they mashed those two together and you got Chewbacca. That's pretty cool.
It was cool. Now, the whole thing started with something I don't recall having seen in any other bonus feature. And maybe it's there and I just haven't seen it, but this one was pretty fun. It was the cast of the movie with Ron Howard sitting at the Sabacc table telling some of their favorite stories. And I loved that moment because you could tell that the cast really enjoyed each other's company and like loved making the movie together. And they knew each other personally. And for me, it sort of started just with the opening question because Ron Howard asks everybody what it was like when they found out they were going to be in Star Wars. And they go to Alden. And you guys remember what Alden's story was?
Yeah, vaguely. I vaguely remember it. Yeah.
So he was like here in LA and he was walking down the street and he got a phone call and he, you know, they told him that you got the part after he'd been auditioning. He had like 6 auditions and all this other stuff. And it was going to be 3 months before they announced it. And they made it abundantly clear he was allowed to tell no one. And so the vibe I get from Alden versus some of the others was that like the others told parents or grandparents or friends right away. And Alden's the rule follower in the group. And he was like,
he's also Han Solo. So he's like, yeah, that's cool.
Well, yeah, he was kind of like, oh, that's awesome. But he couldn't tell anybody and he wanted to, but he couldn't. So he like starts just walking down the streets of LA. He ends up going out to the Santa Monica Pier and riding the Sea Dragon ride.
By himself.
By himself. And they all start making fun of him. They're like, that's the most Alden story. That's what Donald Glover, I don't know where that came from. Donald Glover says, he's like, that's the most Alden story you could possibly tell. You sure you didn't just write a poem about it? Because I guess that's what he does to get his feelings out or whatever. So that was like one of my favorite stories of all of the conversation there at the Sabacc table. What about you guys? What were your favorite stories from that?
Oh, I mean, it was cool. I liked Donald Glover's story.
Which one? Cool.
Well...
Because he told about when he found out and he called his grandmother and he told his grandmother she couldn't tell anybody. And then he called a few days later and she's like, everybody's so excited for you. And he's like, Grandma, you can't tell anybody.
That sounds like if I told any of you that.
Yeah.
So I think I liked the one where, you know, the day that it was announced that he was Lando, he was walking around the streets and he was like, I'm going to go get a pizza and watch The Empire Strikes Back, you know? and he's in the pizza place, and he's like, hey, can we get a slice of pizza for Lando?
Oh, the guy? No, they said that to him. A slice of pizza for Lando.
Yeah. Like, the guy's behind the counter, and, you know, he's walking around, and people are like, hey, Lando, you know, or whatever. And I think he told the story, he was at the airport,
the next day is what they said.
Yeah, the next day.
Yeah.
He was at the airport flying somewhere, and he was in line. And he talks to the dude and he's like, hey, can you help me get through here? And he's like, yeah, as soon as you sign this, Lando. <You know?
laughs> Well, and it was fun because they were talking about how that's like an illustration of how intense Star Wars fandom is. Yeah, and that's without a doubt.
He thought that was awesome. You know? Yeah,
it was cool.
He wasn't like perturbed by it or anything.
Not at all.
Which I thought was cool.
What about you?
What's the name of the actor for Chewbacca? I forget.
Jonas, I can't remember how to pronounce his Finnish last name.
Yeah.
Jonas, the big, tall Finnish guy.
Okay, I'll just say Jonas. I liked his the best.
Jonas Sotamo.
Okay, I'm not going to say his last name.
You're going to need a nickname.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that. You're going to need a nickname. So what's our nickname? We're going to call him Junie. Junie, okay.
Okay, so Junie was, I'm pretty sure he's like, I just went back, got a pizza, and played.
Oh yeah,
Lego Star Wars on the PS3.
Which
and drank champagne.
I'm like, yeah,
yeah. And they were like, so you just got like a champagne bottle with you at all times, you know, just ready for it.
Well, because he says he's at the park when he finds out. Yeah. And then the next thing he says, so I played Lego Star Wars on the PS3 and drank champagne, and they kind of didn't make the connection that it meant he went home. He, you know, it was funny. So
yeah.
Yeah,
but we thought that was cool because we were assuming it was the same Lego game that we had, which was the Complete Saga, and I remember when I was younger, like playing countless hours on that game. I absolutely loved that game. So when a Star Wars actor said that when he found out he was playing in Star Wars, he went home and played that game. It was kind of cool.
It was cool. So, It was awesome. I mean, everybody on Twitter, on social media is talking about Phoebe Waller-Bridge when she talks about she took the call. She was at a restaurant with a friend of hers, and took the call into the bathroom, and she found out while she was in the bathroom, and then left, and she was all red-faced, and the person asked them what just happened while she was in the bathroom, and she's like, the most important, incredible thing that could ever happen, and then she's like, she obviously took that to mean something very different than what it was, because she found out. So, cool. That's awesome. I loved hearing Paul Bettany talk about how we all knew he begged Ron Howard to be in this movie. That's been out there for a long time now. But when he talks about being a kid, 5, 6, 7 years old and watching the Star Wars movie, and he attributes watching Star Wars as to sort of what inspired him to want to be an actor. And so he gets to be a part of that. That was pretty cool. And then, I liked Thandi Newton. There was two stories she told, obviously the one telling her when she was telling her kids, and she like kept it secret for a few hours because she was just relishing the idea that she was going to tell her kids she was in Star Wars, which meant that they were going to actually think she was cool for a change. And as a parent, you sort of stress with that kind of stuff sometimes. And that was part of the story. But then she was talking about, they asked her what inspired her character, the way she portrayed Val. Mm. Did you guys pick up on what she said with that?
Yeah, that was cool.
That was intense.
Was really cool.
She starts telling the story of this Zimbabwe freedom fighter during the colonial era in the 70s that's trying to rise up for Zimbabwe and independence. And almost all of her friends are killed in the revolutions and everything. Mm. And she's forced to flee and go to England and live her life in England and sort of,
got an afro.
Encourage support of the freedom movement in Zimbabwe, and she's got the afro that you see Val has and all this, and then she says, and that woman was my mother.
Hmm.
That was really cool.
That was really cool.
That was awesome. All right, so what about the other parts, like of the documentaries at least? There was a bunch of them. They got Kasdan brothers talking, or Kasdan father and son. They've got talking about the Millennium Falcon, the Corellia escape scene, the train heist, the L3 scene. What are some of the ones that each of you pick, like what was your favorite? We'll start with you, BB Nate.
Okay, the L3 one. Mainly just because it's a quirky character. I did hear, I was looking on Facebook, and somebody said, love Solo, watched it, but there's one thing I didn't like. Why is L3 so annoying?
Annoying?
Oh, no, that's a common argument against Solo. A lot of people don't like L3.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That was like...
And
I loved L3.
I looked in the comments and somebody was like, what? L3 was like one of my favorite characters. Mainly just because she's quirky and funny and you don't see that much in
Star Wars. She's like the opposite of 3PO. 3PO is like, oh yes, of course, I'll help or whatever. L3's like, why? Because you're my organic overlord or whatever,
Yeah, so it's cool.
And it was just cool seeing how they made L3.
That was awesome. Explain that, BB Nate.
So she basically went into a green suit, and then they put a couple droid parts over her, like the head, the chest plates, and the arms, and then the legs. And then ILM took out the green suit stuff and put, like, mechanical parts and robotic parts.
Wires.
And then made the movement a little bit better. And then they said the cool thing was it wasn't hard for them because she moved just like as a droid would just regularly in the movie. And she played it so well. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
What I thought was cool about that is they mentioned that most of the time, if you're seeing like the helmet or the arms or whatever, which is part of her actual costume, they're real. They're not like they CG'd that part in. That most of the time what you're seeing there is the actual suit.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
I thought that was really neat.
I love L3. I love the character of L3 because when you watch the movie, especially if you've picked up like we did the very first time we watched it, that your prediction that L3 was actually going to be the nav computer on the Millennium Falcon in the original trilogy, you predicted that. But so when we go back and you watch it, a second, third time, seventh or eighth, like we have now, you can, if you watch L3 trying to see her as one of the, like the personality of the Millennium Falcon in the original trilogy, it makes her character fun. And you start seeing the interactions. Yeah. Like very at the very end of Solo, when they're at the final Sabacc game where he actually wins the Falcon, Falcon. And he bets in goes all in again, just like he did in the first Sabacc match. And Lando says, "You've really got a thing for the Falcon.
You've really got an in for the Falcon."
Yeah, you've really got an in for the Falcon. And he says, "Oh, trust me, she belongs with me." Did you pick up on that?
I thought the feeling was mutual or something.
The feeling is mutual.
He said, it's mutual.
He says she belongs with me. What he says at one point. And so you could just, like, if you could just overlook that as being like he's using a feminine description of the Falcon. But with the relationship between Lando and L3 and Solo, and now Han saying that, it's almost like a really, like, personal dig.
Yeah.
At Lando and that. And just, I love the character of L3. So good choice, BB Nate.
I saw another thing on Facebook. I think you shared it with us. But in Empire Strikes Back, when Lando is looking for a place to get the hyperdrive fixed, the L3,
yes,
or the Falcon recommends Lando.
Yep. Does not recommend Corellia or Bespin. He says, "Oh, now this is Lando. Interesting. Lando. That's what's recommended." So L3 recommends to Han to go see Lando. It's so cool.
Thought that was cool.
It is cool. What about you, Sam? What was your favorite one of those little featurettes?
Yeah, well, I kind of had two for different reasons, and I'll touch on them real quick. The first one was the Kasdan on Kasdan, and they talked about, how Lawrence and, oh my gosh.
John.
Kasdan went about writing it together, and I just wanted to touch on this one aspect of how I think Ron Howard was saying it was cool because it brought in a different feel to it. A multi-generational feel, because there was Lawrence, who is a original, purist with the original movies. Like, that was his thing. So, and he hardly knows anything about the movies, anything about the lore, sort of like George Lucas.
Right.
He's like, that thing. But then there's John. And he knows everything there is to know about all of Star Wars, and they're different, generations. So that brought a different feel, which I thought was cool because, that's our whole thing. It's a father and his sons and the multi-generational views on Star Wars. So I thought that was really cool. And that kind of hit home on that segment. But the other segment that really appealed to me was the Scoundrels, what's it called? Scoundrels, Droids, Creatures, and Cards. Welcome to Fort Yipso.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Sabacc.
Is it Yipso?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. That was cool. They talked about, when going about making that whole scene. And that cabin lodge thing is a 100% practical set, which I thought was cool because I was telling Nate, I'm like, I need an Airbnb there. But it was just cool to see that. And then they went, they showed how they did the creatures and how they were all puppeteered. And, Donald Glover was talking about, going on the set and, you see them and it's kind of off-putting at first because they're just like so real and they work so well. You really felt like you were part of it. But the thing about it that really appealed to me was they talked about the Sabacc game and the Sabacc cards. We've mentioned this before, but I'm a magician, so I find cards cool. I like always have cards and, I love cards, but, they were showing the cards and the deck or whatever. And I'm like, man, I got to get me one of those. But they said that they came up with actual rules for Sabacc. Like it's a playable game if you know the rules and have the equipment, which I thought was cool. So Dad and I are both like, we need a like a collector's like Black Series edition Sabacc game. Because they have the little board game one, which is more for kids, and it's cool. But we need like official, like it looks like it came straight out of the Star Wars series or the movie. But what really appealed to me about that was they brought someone in to teach the actors and puppeteers Sabacc. And the guy they brought in was a magician.
Oh, that's right.
I recognized him. I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, wait, I know that dude.
Yeah, that's so cool.
He's a magician. And I'm like, that's not fair. I don't want to do that. You know, they could have just taught me the rules and I could have taught them, and I know cards, and maybe I could have brought home a Sabacc deck or something. But I was super jealous. But I thought that was cool, and I gotta get that game now.
Yeah, I know. I definitely hope that they release a version of it at Celebration, maybe in Chicago, yeah, and we can pick up a copy of it there. And it's interesting, you were talking about John Kasdan and Lawrence Kasdan and sort of them discussing sort of their different generational approaches towards Star Wars, mm-hmm, and what the impact that made on Solo. So I'm watching that, and I immediately tweeted out to John Kasdan. I'm like, dude, you've got to come on our podcast and talk about this.
Yes.
I haven't heard from him yet, but I'm putting that out there. If any of you listening to this have any kind of an in with John Kasdan, because I'm not going to assume he's listening to our podcast, but if you do know him or know how to get a hold of him, tell him that this is the perfect podcast for him to come on and talk about making Solo with his dad and like really go into what that's like and how the generational ideas with Star Wars, because that's what this podcast is all about.
So. Right.
My favorite one of the documentaries was without a doubt Into the Maelstrom, the Kessel Run stories. And right. I loved how they started it out with this 12 parsecs thing doesn't make sense. They like opened it up with John Kasdan saying that doesn't make sense. It's not a measure of time. It's a measure of distance. What the heck is Han Solo talking about? Which has been the big argument for 41 years about the Star Wars movies, that people know that parsecs are a measure of distance. And so he as a Star Wars nerd, who John Kasdan truly is, a Star Wars nerd,
right?
With it, he knows all the lore, he knows all the shows, all the comics, the expanded universe, yeah, with the legend stuff, he knows all of it. And he's sitting there thinking, if I'm going to be in this movie, we are going to do the Kessel Run, and I'm going to explain how you can do the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. And so it was so cool for them to talk about all the different elements with it. But it was just awesome to see how John Kasdan is such a Star Wars geek, and he got a chance to make this movie, and I just absolutely loved that scene. So,
yeah, that's cool. And I like that too. I'm like, finally, they're clearing it up, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's important that they just acknowledge that, you know, George kind of messed up when he used that. It was a cool word, and he used a cool word.
Right?
But Star Wars fans are crazy, and so they dived into it and chewed it up real quick. So it was cool. So, okay, so let's talk about the deleted scenes. Which ones of those, kind of stood out in your mind that you've seen?
Mine was definitely the Han Solo Imperial Cadet one.
Yeah, I think that's the best one of all of them. I mean, we talked about the foot chase one last week, and because that had come out. But I really like the Imperial Cadet. Kind of walk through what happens in that for those that haven't seen it.
So if you read, just a quick note, if you read the excerpt that they put out for the Solo novel, that this is the story that they're talking about.
Right.
So it was cool because while I was watching it, I noticed instantly, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the story from the excerpt. No way, you know? So he's sitting there in the cockpit with his different looking helmet, but it looked awesome. and it's like, he's like yelling at the droid. He's like, yeah, I know it's messed up. You know, or yeah, no, I know I should get back. I can make it to the hangar. Just, you know, he's like, all right, you know what? This conversation's over. So he flips off the droid brain in the TIE fighter, or it's not even a TIE fighter. It looks more like a TIE bomber sort of thing. But
right.
It was, so that was cool to see because that was straight from the excerpt. And he starts to spiral in and he barely makes it into the hangar bay and he crashes and it's this, huge mess and he blows stuff up. And in classic Han Solo fashion, of course. And then the next thing you see is he's all, beat up. And he's standing in front of a Imperial court martial. And they're just trying to decide what to do with him, and he's like, well, if I wouldn't have done this, Onyx 2 would have died, and they're like, you didn't follow Imperial order. And he's like, but I saved one of your high ranking officers or whatever. And, and he's approaching the court martial.
He's trying to talk officer, his way out of it, like he does in everything else. Right.
And he doesn't know, Imperial
protocol.
Protocol. So, the guards are coming to like stop him or whatever. And he has to back up constantly. And, it was, pure Han Solo fashion, but what was also cool is we got to see Tag and Bink.
Oh, that's cool. Right. They are in that.
They were the guys flanking the monitor. And one of them is played by John Kasdan.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about this deleted scene, BB-8?
You can see it didn't get far into the production because the CG was really
The space.
It was very placeholder.
Yes, it was a filler if they were going to put it in the movie. It was basically just an backstory
to kind of see where they were going with it.
Right. Yes, yeah. But so you saw that it wasn't going to get too far in the movie. I wish it was in the movie. It would have made it a little bit more funny, because if the movie wasn't already funny enough, I would have just liked to have seen it in the movie.
What I also thought was important is, you know, at the end, they're like, you know, we're taking you out of the flight academy. We're sending you to the infantry on Mimban. And Han's like, oh, I thought that was going to be way worse. And he's like, all right, so when are you going to have me flying again? And the court martial, just like the guy who ushered Han into the Imperial Academy, was like, oh, don't worry, we'll have you flying in no time. And then, you know, the next thing you see is 2 years later, and he's on the Battle of Mimban, and you know, he's getting blown up and stuff, right. And that whole scene. And then they actually go into an extended battle sequence. Yeah. But I felt like the extended battle sequence could have been left out. I liked the I did like the Imperial Cadet thing, and I would have wished that they would have left that in there.
You know, did you guys haven't had a chance to see the extended Chewie and Han like fight scene, have you?
No.
I liked the extended version even more than I liked the original, and I really like the original, but I think it's a lot more of the battle and sort of the and then you guys need to check it out. I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't seen it, because it really shows a different element to the start of the relationship between Chewie and Han, and sort of how you kind of see that at one point Chewie realizes he's become the beast that they were talking about. And he doesn't want to be that beast in that. It's really interesting. It's actually pretty emotional. And I would have liked them to have left that in there. I get that it wasn't not really necessary, but I just would have appreciated having that in there a little bit longer. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Is the Solo novel out yet?
Oh, yeah. It's been out for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Have you read it?
I have not.
Okay.
Saving it for the flight.
Oh, that's right. I was going to see if that was maybe in the book.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Well, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. So, all right. Well, that's cool. Well, that pretty much does it. Is there anything else that we want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah. So, Solo, A Star Wars Story's writer's Twitter thread.
John Kasdan.
John Kasdan. It casts doubt on a potential sequel.
Yeah. No, yeah, he went out when the movie was released on digital. He spent the entire morning tweeting about the movie, and one of the tweets kind of indicated that he doesn't think that they're going to make a sequel. So,
man. Yeah.
What about you, BB Nate?
So, Star Wars comic adds Sith Lord Momin into movie canon.
Yeah, that's a cool character that they've been bringing out in the comic books.
Is it Momin?
I think so. I don't know.
Momin.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. It's like a character that was too intense for even the Sith, so they didn't put him any holocrons or anything like that. It's pretty awesome. So,
and he was the architect of Vader's castle,
that's
right?
Very good for Darth Vader, because that comic series is intense.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait for the omnibus to come out.
When you get back, it'll be 2 weeks till it comes out.
When does it come out?
October 21st.
All right. Oh, cool.
I'm going to be there at the comic shop. Like, where is it?
There we go. And then Mark Hamill actually, he released the first word of the title for episode 9 on his Twitter account.
It's Turbis, right?
Nope, it's not. It's the.
Ooh. That's tough.
Quite a revelation.
That is. I mean, wow. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I got to figure that one out now.
I know. So, all right. Well, that pretty much does it for this week. Let's talk about next week's podcast poll of the week. We'll ask you guys what your favorite story was from the Solo, A Star Wars Story roundtable discussion that we spent so much time talking about. Is it the stories about L3 and Lando, where they're talking about their relationship? Alden's roller coaster ride, that whole story. Sign This Lando, that's the one you talked about, Sam. And I liked Thandie's mom. And that was a story cool. about that. So vote on that, and please make sure that you subscribe, rate, review, share our podcast. And remember, we will be off for 2 weeks. We will not be returning till the weekend before the weekend before. You guys, I want to make sure you, Sam and Nate, that you pick up on this. The next time we do a podcast will be the weekend before Star Wars Resistance premieres on Monday night.
Woo.
Or Sunday night even. I think it's a Sunday night. So we'll be doing this podcast. Maybe we, it doesn't start till 10 o'clock. We can't do a live podcast.
But I don't know. I mean, we could. We could. No one watch it.
But no, no. Anyway. So anyway, yeah. So that's what's going on.
Cool.
Awesome. So anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you. And in the 2 weeks we're gone, make Turbo's Cannon.
Yeah.
May the force be with you.
Yep. Raiders suck. May the force be with you.
This part is over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.